That was a very good devotional about doing God's will. And isn't that why we are here tonight? To study and to know better how to do His will. We're in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. Last week we were in chapter 18. And we talked about sexual immorality. And we talked about the fact that sin is a moral sickness to any nation. It said there in verse 25 of chapter 18, made the land unclean. And, you know, it has an epidemic effect, doesn't it? You know, it's not just, as we talked about last week, it's not just an individual problem. It's a problem of our cities, our states, the nation, and ultimately the world. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, we talked a little bit last week about the people who would say it's their right to sell pornographic material or to look at it or what have you. But you know, when an individual's right to see what he wants to see, to say what he wants to say, and ultimately do what he wants to do, when that prevails, we as a society, as a whole, lose. As Mark alluded to, God has all wisdom. He knows what we need better than we do. You know, when you think about the sexual immorality in our land, and you think about all the problems it causes, one rape, one kidnapped child, one molested child, is not worth all the individual rights in the world. Sin is a sickness to a land, just like we studied there in chapter 18 last week. There's never the right time to do the wrong thing. The truth of the matter is, no one has the right to do what is wrong. The rights of an individual should never overrule what's right for the whole. Judges 17:6 says, in those days there was no king in the land. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You know, when there's no objective standard of authority, man has always chose evil over good. God warned the Israelite people about a moral sickness in the land, and by doing that, he also is warning us as we study the Old Testament. God demands purity in our lives. And if you go to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 9, he tells us that Christ died to purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And we are to teach this purity to the rest of the world. The whole book of Leviticus in chapter 18 is very important to know how to teach the rest of the world. Now, as we go into Leviticus 19, it continues the theme, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy, as was mentioned in chapter 11, verse 44 in Leviticus also. But here in verse 2 of chapter 19, you see, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. The commandments of God aren't just do's and don'ts. His commandments are designed to conform us to His image. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, and His image is one of holiness. It was for the good of physical Israel to be like God in character, just as it is for us today. Hebrews 12:10 tells us that God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. Now, if you get into Leviticus 19, you see that it looks much like what Jesus taught in the New Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't steal. Don't deal falsely. In righteousness, judge your neighbor, and so on. We can conclude that being holy as God is holy is to be willing to obey God with our own being. Someone might ask, why should Israel obey all the commandments of God? What does he say? Because he, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. He's the Lord. And it's the same answer for us. Why should Christians observe to do as Christ commands in everything? In Matthew 28:19, we know that he was given that authority because he is the Lord. Being holy as God is holy involves not being like the world. And it's only human nature, isn't it, to want to be like the world. But that's exactly what we don't want to be like. Now, if you go over to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28, the King James, if you have the King James translation, I think it says, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. And I think the New King James says something pretty similar to that. Does the New King James say tattoo? This one, my translation, the English Standard, says, or tattoo yourselves, because I am the Lord. Now, I couldn't as a student of God's Word, and I don't think you could either, I couldn't use this scripture to say that it's intrinsically wrong to get a tattoo. Maybe it is. I really don't know. You can comment on that. But because the context here, The context here is, you shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. This seems to me, from what I've seen in other parts of the Bible, this seems to me to be sort of a sympathy thing for the dead. You know, a way of physically showing, you know, I'm going to cut myself or I'm going to hurt myself to show that I have compassion for the dead. Anyone else thought about that? Any? Right. In worldly things. And, you know, if we said that it's wrong, it's just flat out wrong to get a tattoo, for instance, we would be saying, as Bobby pointed out in verses 26 and 27, it says, not round off the hair on your temples or mar the edges of your beard. You know, where would you stop? I personally don't think that it's a good idea to get a tattoo. I mean, that's my personal view. But I'm just saying I can't use this scripture. How far would you take it? You know, would you say, well, if you pierce your ear, you're damaging your body also, possibly. You know, would we say that's wrong also? I really don't know. I just don't want to teach that. Even though I personally don't see it. Right. Right. It's more of why, isn't it? It's more of why they were doing these things. There, verse 31, do not turn, Bobby was talking about this, do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Don't turn to seers or mediums. It says to do so is unclean. Is there any other comments about that? Yes, you can be forgiven of anything. Right. Now, I especially like Leviticus 19:32. My translation says, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man. I like that. More than I used to. I'd bet you like it too. And you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Now, as we get into Leviticus chapter 20, we see two important lessons. Number one, God is a caring and a compassionate God. And number two, mankind is capable of committing the most heinous crimes there are. Now, let's go ahead and read the first five. Let's go ahead and read the first six verses of chapter 20. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given one of his children to Molech to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to that man when he gives one of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against that man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him, in whoring after Molech. If a person turns to mediums and necromancers, whoring after them, I will set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. Now, God would have never given these commands if there weren't people already doing it, would he? And if all of mankind were not capable of doing those things. You may be thinking, I've never committed any of those that was mentioned there, or maybe even any in all of chapter 20. But you are capable. That's the idea. We are all capable of the most heinous sin there is. Now, keep in mind that as I try to make application for us in the spiritual sense, keep in mind that just as God separated physical Israel from other nations, God wants us to be separate from the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, it says, therefore, go out from among their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you. God will not be a father to those who refuse to separate themselves from the evils of the world. God knew that just as surely as physical Israel didn't maintain separation from the evil nations of Canaan, they would just as surely become like those nations. And of course, we know Israel didn't maintain that separation, did they? And what happened? They became guilty of all the sins that those nations committed. Yes, that's the hard part. When it comes to family, it makes it even harder. But sometimes that has to be done. And if we're doing God's will, that's exactly what we have to do.
As my mother told me, she said, as long as you're standing for the right, you'll never be standing alone.
Right. As hard as it is to do sometimes, that's exactly right. And of course, we know in the case of the physical Israelites, it was that very thing, you know, that they wouldn't separate from those nations that led to the Assyrian and the Babylonian captivity. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived, bad company ruins good morals. And as Bobby pointed out, that may include family to be the bad company. How many times have we heard someone say, now, just because my friends do these things doesn't mean I will do them. And then many times, what do we see? That's exactly what they do. And yes, we know that Jesus associated with publicans and sinners. But why did Jesus associate with publicans and sinners?
He came to save the lost.
He was teaching them, right? Jesus was teaching them. Now, we need to ask ourselves, if our friends are doing evil things, are we trying to teach them, or are we allowing them to teach us? Notice there again what I read in the first couple of verses of Leviticus 20. Say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. What's that talking about? What's that talking about? Giving children to Molech. A human sacrifice. Giving your own child. Deuteronomy 18:10 talks about burning your son or daughter as an offering. That's exactly what this is talking about. To a false god. Now, it's hard for us to understand how anyone could burn their children in fire as a human sacrifice to some false god. Isn't it hard for us to understand that? We can see how uncivilized that is in the physical sense. But what about the spiritual sense? What about those who fail to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And then those children live and die lost, and then they burn in hell for eternity. Which is more cruel? To physically burn your child to death would be punishable by law today, wouldn't it? But to influence your child in such a way as to cause them to burn in hell has no consequence in this life. Now, we see the death penalty there in many things in chapter 20, don't we? Even there in verse 13, if a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Homosexuality given the death penalty. Now we read earlier there in verse 6 about a person turning to mediums and necromancers, whoring after them. And you go over to verse 27, the last verse of the chapter. A man or a woman who is a medium or a necromancer shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Now I think the King James there, instead of necromancer, says wizard. Is that right? Witchcraft and astrology and communicating with the dead, that kind of thing, had the death penalty. You know, there was a brother, Kenneth Jones, who lived in Parrish, Alabama. Many years ago, he wrote a booklet that he called Witchcraft, Spiritualism, Astrology, and Demon Possessions. And in that booklet, he referred to this dark period in history when a woman accused of witchcraft automatically lost her life. He said one method for determining if the charge was true was to throw this woman in a tank of water, and if she stayed afloat, she was considered guilty. And being guilty, you know, she was executed, the death penalty. Well, if she was declared innocent, if she drowned. So which way would you rather go? That's would you rather be innocent or guilty? Right. You know, to be illiterate or ignorant of these things is one thing, but millions of Americans who are educated people, and they still put their confidence in these things, in these mediums and so forth, that amazes me. I don't know about you. All the sins mentioned in Leviticus 20 are terrible sins. As bad as they are, God will forgive them if repented of. And no sin is greater than the grace of God, but sadly some will fail to obtain the grace of God, as we see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. God's pardon is offered to all who will accept his terms of obedience. Our time's up for the night. Let's pray together. Our most righteous Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are and the fact that we were made in your image. And we are to look at your character and your will for our lives, and we are to study and try to better do your will and better prepare ourselves and help one another to reach that heavenly goal one day. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.